Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Disneyland Paris Now. Let's talk about all things from the most magical place in Europe, Disneyland Paris. I'm Eric Anderson, and this is the episode for the fourth week of January. Yes, today we'll be talking about Ratatouille the Adventure and its in-attraction restaurant, Bistro Chez Remy. But first, a quick look at current events. Over at the Walt Disney Studios Park in Disneyland Paris, we are now full into our Legends of the Force, a celebration of Star Wars event. The event runs until the 17th of March and features three daytime shows, all in the production courtyard. First up is the First Order March, which consists of the stormtroopers performing, as the name suggests, a 5-minute long military march with Captain Phasma. This occurs three times a day, at 12:25 p.m., 2:05 p.m., and 4:20 p.m. Again, for all the shows that we're about to talk about, be sure to check the park map and show times on the day of your visit, because times do tend to shift or change. Then there's also Legends of a Galaxy Far, Far Away. When it comes to the daytime performances, this one is my favorite, occurring three times a day at 12:35 p.m., 2:15 p.m., and 4:30 p.m., this 15-minute best of montage shows some of the most iconic Star Wars movie moments on the giant LED-paneled stage located in the production courtyard. While a best of montage might not sound so spectacular, what makes it really nice is that they have live actors reenacting some of the most iconic scenes of the movie. It's really fun. Five times a day, there's also the Imperial March, which is almost the same thing as the First Order March, except for it's 10 minutes long and it's got Darth Vader in it. And finally, the awesome nighttime show, which occurs daily at 6:15 p.m., Star Wars, A Galactic Celebration, which combines live actors, surprisingly effective projection mapping on our favorite Tower of Terror, lighting effects, and yes, even fireworks. It's definitely worth checking out. And over at Disneyland Park, the Festival of Pirates and Princesses is taking over Main Street USA, Central Plaza, and Adventureland. Pirates and Princesses also runs until the 17th of March and features the flagship parade slash dance party, Disney Pirates or Princesses, make your choice. You, the guests, get to choose whether to party with the princesses, which feature the likes of Ariel, Aurora, Moana, Merida, Jasmine, Cinderella, Belle, Rapunzel, and Mickey, or the pirates, Peter Pan, Wendy, Hook, Smee, Jake, and Minnie. Both teams feature cool floats and a cute dance routine. The floats start at either end of the parade route, princesses in Fantasylands, and pirates down Main Street, both meeting at the Central Plaza for the main show. Now this happens three times a day, at 11:35 a.m., 12:45 p.m., and 3:25 p.m., and the whole thing lasts around 30 minutes. Hoist the Flag, Mateys is an interactive 20-minute outdoor experience with Captain Jack Sparrow, the story being that he's searching for a new crew for his next quest. This is a fun experience for the little ones. It's performed five times a day in Adventureland near Adventure Isle. Last and kind of least, at least for me, there's Princess Promenade, which is a basic but cute 6-minute long dance and walk type show that runs three times a day at 11:05 a.m., 12:20 p.m., 1:30 p.m., on Main Street USA, Central Plaza. Now onto the main event. Ratatouille the Adventure continues, or as it's known in French, help me out here, Google.
Ratatouille, l'aventure totalement toquée de Rémy.
Which literally translates to Rémy's totally zany adventure, is a motion-based trackless 3D dark ride based on the 2007 Disney Pixar animated film Ratatouille in Walt Disney Studios Park in Disneyland Paris. Now, the first whiff we actually got of the attraction was all the way back in 2008 after the inauguration of Toy Story Midway Mania at Disney's California Adventure. John Lasseter mentioned that an attraction based on the relatively new Ratatouille film was being considered for Disneyland Paris. Skip ahead a few years, and the first real teaser guests saw in the parks was in 2011 during the Toy Story Playland previews. Imagineering teased an immersive concept for the area in the future, which would open up a fictitious Paris Square ride and restaurant based on the Ratatouille film. During those annual passport and shareholder previews of Toy Story Playland, guests exited the area through a blue barrel of fun, on the other side of which was an archway on top of which you could spot a huge statue of Auguste Gusteau, the fictitious chef from the movie Ratatouille. And as the guests walked down this faux Parisian street, they'd find highly themed benches with little Chef Remy's hidden in the ironwork, Which, if you think about it, was a considerable amount of theming and design for an area that hadn't even been greenlit yet. Tom Fitzgerald, executive vice president of Walt Disney Imagineering, and the man who's in charge of the portfolio in Disneyland Paris, had delegated Tracy Eck, WDI's operations head for Paris, to have everything ready so that management could immediately approve the Ratatouille-inspired area. Imagineers wanted to give Walt Disney Studios something the French would see as theirs, and still resonate with international guests. The studio's park had lacked a true themed area, you know, one of those truly immersive environments that Imagineering's famous for. Fitzgerald's team also realized that the studio's park did not have a unique restaurant, not to mention a proper sit-down restaurant. Therefore, the choice to create a highly themed area based on a truly French character who could then give this theme park a must-see attraction and justify the construction of a fully functional sit-down restaurant seemed strategically sound. Unfortunately, Disneyland Paris management couldn't find a way to approve the construction of the Ratatouille area until the Walt Disney Company waived the 1.5 billion euros. The banks, who were the decision makers up until then, had a very strong say when it came to how money was spent at the park and didn't want to approve a costly investment in the property. The wait, though, proved to be pretty beneficial for Tom and Tracy, giving them and the team time to refine the ride system and show. 3D video scenes were rendered with a so-called moving eye point, the idea being that the perspective of the video shifts synchronized to the car's movement, therefore keeping the perspective and all the angles in sync with guests' motion to maximize realism and immersion. And this actually isn't the first time the moving eye point technology was implemented in a 3D 4D type attractions. An early notable example is the Spider-Man attraction at Universal Studios, which opened May 28, 1999. Keeping the fast car motions in sync with the video projections minimized the break between screens and the physical sets. Taking a note from production designer Harley Jessup, Imagineers implemented crookedology into the facades and attraction props, which basically means that they're inspired by real objects and locations, but with crooked accenting. Slightly crooked windows, structures. Ratatouille, the Adventure's ride system, ended up using the next-gen LPS trackless ride technology. Similar to Pooh's Honey Hunt in Tokyo Disneyland and Mystic Manor in Hong Kong Disneyland, Ratatouille uses rat-shaped vehicles with inbuilt motion bases to automatically move across the ground with no physical track. Merging 3D projected dome segments with physical sets that the vehicles move through, the attraction creates an entertaining and immersive environment. Ratatouille, the Adventure, would end up costing $270 million. And opened officially on the 10th of July, 2014. From the outside, the show building is disguised as Gusteau's and Remy's restaurant and the surrounding buildings of the fictitious Parisian Plaza. Guests entering the queue experience rooftops of Paris with the sign of Gusteau's restaurant on top of one of the buildings. That comes to life every once in a while. This is actually one of my all-time favorite details of any attraction in Disney. After boarding the Ratmobiles, you find yourself shrunk down to the size of the rat on the roof of Gusteau's restaurant, with Remy and his imaginative chef Gusteau trying to decide what meal they shall serve the guests. After deciding on their famous ratatouille dish, Remy and the riders fall through a swinging roof glass pane, winding up on the restaurant kitchen floor. This starts a chase sequence with Remy leading the riders and other rats away from the cooks, passing through the freezer room and then under the hot oven. These sequences feature temperature swings, which truly add to the immersive environment. Sadly, I'm kind of always taking a bit out of the story during the 3D dome sequences, as I always get distracted by the screen edges. Also, this attraction uses a 3D technology called Super Anaglyph, which often runs under the brand name Infotech. Now, it's going to get a little bit technical here, so bear with me, but it's actually super interesting. So the technology works by implementing narrowband interference filters in the glasses. These create a 3D image by dividing the projected light into different wavelength ranges using steeped edge optical filters. So some of the wavelengths reach your left eye and others your right eye, the final result being that both eyes are reached by wavelengths in the red, green, and blue range of visible light. Now we all know that makes up a color image. But due to the filter's minor color differences do occur between the left and right eye, and those can easily be calibrated out of the projected images. But guess where you can't eliminate the color differences between the left and the right eye? Yes, so any non-projected surface, so physical props. The glasses do tend to make the props in the attraction and physical sets look a bit different in the left and the right eye. And me, coming from a graphic design and video production background, well, I'm kind of super particular about these things, and it's always bugged me a bit. Don't get me wrong, it's an amazing attraction and I love it and I 100% recommend it. It's definitely the best way to experience the Ratatouille universe, but there are just a few details for me personally that don't completely click. Also, I'd recommend getting a Fastpass for this attraction. Wait times average in around 40 minutes, and depending on the time of day or whether or not it's a weekend, they can go all the way up to 70 minutes during peak times. Okay, so let's finish up the ride through. We eventually end up in the dining area, attracting the attention of the customers and causing a scene. Chef Skinner tries to get rid of the rats, aka us, while Chef Linguini tries to help them escape into a nearby vent. The escape through the vent in the walls is almost wrecked by Chef Skinner's angry attempts to grab the rats through the ventilation grids. In the end, the little group makes it safely to Remy's kitchen, where fresh ratatouille is being prepared. And if the scent branding is on, you can actually smell it at this point, which is a super cool detail. The ride ends at Bistro Chez Remy restaurant, where the guests bid farewell to the rat colony. As you exit, you pass the real Bistro Chez Remy and see diners enjoying their meals. Speaking of which, I've had the opportunity to dine there twice now, and both times were equally very good. Again, with the restaurant, similar to the attraction, the story is that you shrink down to the size of Remy and dine yummy French cuisine in the Parisian-inspired bistro. The outside facade and the waiting rooms are fairly classic and minimal, with little fun playful details mounted on the walls like the fictitious Anyone Can Cookbook from the movie or the Golden Fork plaque. As the host or hostess takes you to your table, you gradually shrink down to the size of a rat, passing the corner into the main dining room. We're visually overwhelmed, and I do mean this in a good way, by giant hand-painted leaves on the ceiling, tables with cocktail umbrellas, and chairs made seemingly out of huge champagne bottle tops. This is Disney at its best, creating the immersive environments they're famous for. A slow ratatouille music loop plays in the background, plusing the Parisian feel to the restaurant. There's an element of refinement in the festive atmosphere. The waiting staff have a pretty classy look to them, underlining the concept of high Parisian gastronomy. Overall, there are 11 distinct table designs. All of them offer a culinary theme with decorations such as olive oil bottle wrappers and jam jar lids. Several giant plates act as dividers between tables, with giant forks at either side of them as coat hooks. So the way the restaurant menu is set up is by predetermined menus that do give you just a bit of flexibility in terms of what you eat. Usually for main courses or desserts, there'll be 2 to 3 options to choose from. There are 4 menus for adults and 2 for children, although the 4 menus for adults are also really just only 2, the main difference being that one comes with dessert and the other one doesn't. Adult menus range from $32.99 to $61.99. And this is in Euro, by the way, and kids menus from $18.99 to $32.99. And last time I was there, I'll admit it, I splurged on the $61.99 Gusto menu. It started off with a duck foie gras, violet fig jam, and a brioche. Morality put aside, it was really good. The main course was beef filet with ratatouille and gratin potatoes with brie cheese, which was perfection. And for dessert, the warm tarte tatin with isigny cream. Yum. I can feel myself getting fat just thinking about it. By the way, the drinks are not included in the previously mentioned prices. I'll link the full menu in the description down below. So you guys, if you want to eat there, you have my full support to do so, since you can't find this restaurant in any other Disney park around the world. But make a reservation as early as possible. I cannot tell you how many people I've seen get turned away from the doors here. Chez Remy is pretty much always booked out, and it's almost impossible to get a reservation the day of. You can make a reservation at the restaurant either by calling the reservation hotline, I'll put a link down below, or at your favorite Disney hotel. Listener questions. This one's from Michael. Hi Eric, my husband and I travel to Disney World for the Gay Days every year, and I was wondering if Disneyland Paris had a similar event. So yes, Michael, for the first time ever, on Saturday the 1st of June 2019, the official Magical Pride at Disneyland Paris event is happening. This is a real Disney event, not fan-made or anything like that, which is awesome. Magical Pride is going to feature things like a brand new parade that is, quote, going to illuminate the streets of Walt Disney Studios Park with a vibrant pride atmosphere, end quote. You're going to get the rare chance to ride attractions late into the night at Walt Disney Studios, and a fun dance party featuring artists dropping some banging beats. I'll put a link down in the show notes if you want to check out more details. It really looks like a lot of fun. So thank you so much, Michael, for that amazing question. If you have any questions regarding Disneyland Paris or you'd like to get in touch, you can reach us at disneylandparisnow@yahoo.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @NowDisneyland and on our Instagram under Disneyland_Paris_now. Thank you to dlptownsquare.com, disneytouristblog.com, jimhillmedia.com, and disneylandparis.com, all of which are the excellent sources for the information compiled in this episode of the podcast. Thank you for joining me today. For Disneyland Paris Now, this is Eric Anderson. Have a great day. Bye-bye.